It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
When I could pull it off.
Yeah, back then. All right, the Eagles are trying to pull off this roster. Elliott, what the hell? I mean, let's talk about the quarterbacks. I can't understand the four quarterback thing. It just, pick a quarterback, move on. If you had a guess why, what would be your guess?
I think they believe Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee both hold value, and they think if they cut them, another team will sign them, and they don't want to give a player away for free, would be my guess, right? Andy Dalton, they traded for this offseason. Worth noting, they traded a 7th-round pick for him, and Carolina, I believe, paid some of his salary. So, you know, we can all have our opinions on how much Andy Dalton might be wanted around the league. My opinion would be, I don't think you're getting much for him. And I also think it doesn't help that three other teams kept four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So let's say another team, you're not one of those four teams, finds themselves in need of a quarterback.
The Jets might be one of those
correct.
Teams.
Correct. Like, we could argue Andy Dalton might be the best of the four. We'd have to go through the roster. But the Eagles are not the only team with a surplus of quarterbacks, which I think makes it hard in a trade. But the bottom line, I think, with the quarterbacks is this. Like, Howie knows more about who has value around the league, how he has the read on it. And, you know, when the whole A.J. Brown thing was going on, it was, they're not going to get a first for him. Howie stuck to his guns, and they got a first for A.J. So will they be able to trade Dalton for something? Maybe. Do I think it'll be something of value? Probably not. Do I think this whole thing has been worth it? I don't. But they clearly feel he still has value.
Is it fair to say or wonder if Howie messed up the backup quarterback thing? Not just value, but the players. Because, look, the Eagles have lived a pretty charmed life the last few years. Jalen stayed mostly healthy. He had the concussion against Washington in 24. But for the most part, he stayed healthy. You know, that doesn't always last, right? It's the NFL. I mean, he could miss two or three games with an ankle like he did in 21. Like, regardless of who they choose, do you think they can win games with this set of backup quarterbacks?
So I don't think Andy Dalton. No, I think in the last few years, Andy Dalton has not played well. Now, he's in theory in a better situation here. I think it is a better situation, but this is not the Eagles of 2024
right,
where you know what the offensive line is. You know they can run the ball. They have two great receivers. So I think it's a bit of a tougher spot. I'm not ready to write off Tanner. I know that it seems they're more down on him than they used to be. The fact that they took half the reps from him. He didn't start two of the preseason games. I've seen Tanner practice a lot. I've seen him play in preseason games. I've seen him play in joint practices. I've seen him play in regular season. And for the most part, Tanner exceeds expectations when he plays. Didn't do it last year against Washington, right? Didn't finish the game off. But outside of that, I think he's been impressive when he's played. So if you told me Tanner was going in and they game planned around him, then yes, I would feel better. But it's just hard for me to feel good about Dalton right now.
You know, outside of the four quarterbacks that we have on the roster, what else kind of stuck out to you as far as the construction of the Eagles roster?
Well, in terms of the construction, I think the six receivers is a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
They kept Elijah Moore, who, for what it's worth, I think, like, earned a roster spot. Like, if you want to talk about training camp mattering and, you know, being able to earn a spot on the team versus what it was at the start of camp, I think Elijah Moore earned a spot. He had the most targets of any receiver in camp. He had the most catches of any receiver in camp. He had the best play against the Patriots in the joint practices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he stood out during camp. But he's a guy that was on a practice squad last year. So I think they probably could have cut him and put him on the practice squad. I don't know that, but I think it's something they could have done. The fact that they kept six, I think, speaks to two things. One, they are really selling this idea of receiver by committee. It's not just AJ and Devontae anymore. Everybody has a different skill set. And you heard Nick say to Yahoo Sports last week that Elijah Moore and Hollywood Brown are going to be the ones that stretch the field for them. So I think they're going to look at them in those roles. But like, are you going to dress all six receivers next week? And if you don't, then why really is Elijah on the roster? Or is Elijah going to dress next week, and is Elijah going to play because maybe Mekhi Lemon coming off Friday night, they're not as sure about what he'll be able to do. So I think Elijah earned the roster spot. I'm just frankly surprised they did it.
Yeah, Elijah has a hedge on Lemon. I've wondered that too.
Because I think Elijah Moore ran a lot of the Lemon routes in training camp this year. Like, he got a lot of work, and you know the thought process was watching it. Like, this is supposed to be Mekhi, but Mekhi's hurt.
All right, we'll swing back to the roster in a second. Let's just talk about Mekhi Lemon because he came up here. Elliott, he played Friday. I know we debated on the show and the pregame if he should.
Yeah, good thing they played him.
But they did. And now, well, I mean, he didn't get hurt. What's the worst that happened?
No, he did it. Well, it went awful.
Well, right, but like it doesn't really change anything that he didn't play well in the game.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Well, it changes a bit perception, but that doesn't really mean anything. But he got his reps and he played. But what did you think? I mean, it's the first time we watched him play in a real game. What did you think of Mekhi Lemon?
I think he looked like he's looked in training camp all year when he's practiced. I think Mekhi right now is a player that they're going to have to work to get the ball to. Like AJ and Devontae, you didn't have to work to get them the ball. You just told them to get open. They ran a certain amount of routes and you know, they had chemistry and that was it. Mekhi, they're going to have to get really creative. And the other thing you see with Mekhi is it's a small margin for error when you throw Mekhi the ball. Like, he is not the biggest guy. He, you know, he doesn't have the longest arms. And so when you're throwing it to him, even the interception from Tanner, right? Probably not the best throw, maybe a little high. But you could even see Mekhi, like, putting his arms up, right? He doesn't have that wingspan. So it pops off his hands. It's a ball he should have caught for sure. He said that himself. Absolutely, you would like to see him catch that. I think with Mekhi, my worry is week one, they're going to have to get really creative on how they do this. And for an offense that might not score a ton of points, like each snap is very precious. And if you're taking 5-6 snaps to run like bubble screens, short outs, all that type of stuff, that's probably not helping the offense. So yeah, I didn't think Mekhi looked good. What I think Mekhi needs right now, he needs one play. Like he needs one play where you go, okay, this guy is definitely why you can see why he's a first round pick. You can see the explosiveness. You can see the run after the catch. He hasn't had that. So he seems like a very confident guy, but I wonder how much he just needs like a hitter that's in a, you know, a slump or a shooter that's in a slump. Just one play to like remind himself like, hey, I can do this.
Yeah. Well, on a Friday, he didn't, did he really have a chance for one? It was when he had a couple, he had three catches, right? For 3 yards. It felt like Tanner maybe underthrew him on the out route where he had a little bit of a step and then the one that went off his hand. But
I don't think he had like a ton of separation.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. But that probably would have better throw. He could dump it over the DB.
Sure.
Yeah. It felt like it was weird on Friday because they played him and they clearly wanted to get him the football. I mean, how many targets did he have? Five?
Yeah, five or six.
Five or six.
And he had the punt return.
Right.
Which, you know, I know that was later in the game. It's not him as a receiver. But I also think that shows right now maybe how desperately he wants to do something because he made the decision right away. The ball's in the air, like pointing to it, like there, right? Mm-hmm. Then it bounces towards him. He tries to make a snap second decision to pick it up. It doesn't work out. It's fumbled. And it's just like another bad play involving him. So I just think he needs something to get going, but it's going to be tough now because now it's the regular season and every snap really matters.
All right, were you surprised that both Uwar Bernard and Joshua Weru were cut?
I was really surprised Bernard was cut. Now it's what? It is 12:07. We should know in an hour whether or not they get claimed. And if neither of them gets claimed and they're both on the practice squad, then no harm, no foul, right? And I don't think either of them are going to dictate like whether the Eagles win a playoff game this year or whether or not they win the division. So like these 24 hours can be very concentrated on like bottom of the roster players, but great teams develop bottom of roster players. They keep them. And a guy like Bernard, I think everybody was very excited about him as being like the next Mailata, right? And all offseason, it's like, look at this potential. So I think it'd be very disappointing if Bernard got cut. And I am surprised he got cut because it felt like they decided they were going to keep a roster spot on him. But again, this is where it comes down to Howie and Howie knowing the league. If Howie knows he can put Bernard on the practice squad, then that's obviously the better situation. Like, you don't want to keep him on the 53. He doesn't develop quicker on the 53. So if you can get him on the practice squad, that's a really good outcome. But if he's claimed, I think that would feel like relative to the player, like a pretty big disappointment.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, I think you're probably one of the few people that can answer this question and kind of have a frame of reference. When you looked at the final 53 last night and you just saw it, how does that compare to recent years? Because just from my view, but the roster always changes so much, it's hard to like remember snapshots in time. It feels just weaker than it has for probably 3 or 4 years. Do you see it that way? Do you see it differently?
So it's an interesting roster because I definitely think you can say it. Well, it's certainly not as good as it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And I don't think it's probably not as good as it was last year.
I mean, because 2 years ago, Moro Jomo was their fourth defensive tackle.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they had A.J. Brown.
Right.
A year ago, just simplistically.
They just had a lot of players,
right?
Yeah.
They had Reed Blankenship. So I don't think the roster is as good as it was last year. But I also think what they did with the roster last night, there is another world where we're sitting here today and they're going, wow, they kept like so many UDFAs. And maybe the takeaway is, you know what? This team is developing for the future. I think the fact that they kept Elijah Moore, AJ Epenesa, Jonathan Jones, I mean, they kept the long snapper, right? Like they could have really gotten tricky if they wanted with that. So I think what you saw on Friday night is the roster is not as good as it's been in the past. I don't think the UDFAs, at times it felt like they were having really good camps. At times it felt like they were forcing decisions. But the only UDFA they kept was Rocco Underwood. They didn't keep a single positional player UDFA. So I think that shows how things worked out. And it also shows like they need AJ Epenesa Vanessa week one because Grenard's not playing, right? They need Elijah Moore in week one potentially because Mekhi hasn't been as good. They need Jonathan Jones because maybe they don't feel as comfortable with Mac McWilliams or Kelee Ringo. So the fact that they kept all these veterans, Fred Johnson, another example, shows just like they need these veteran guys, I think, a little more than they used to.
How much does you think the schedule plays into the decisions? So Grenard is not on the PUP?
He's not on the PUP. And Eli Stowers is not on IR. So both they are essentially predicting both will play in the first four games
at some point. Oh, so let's use Grenard, for example. To me, I started wondering this morning, Elliot, if they think they can get through the first 2 weeks, Washington and Tennessee, but they really want Grenard for the Bears and the Rams game. Because if they had taken him out for 4 weeks, those two offenses, you need him.
I think they don't want to rule anything out.
Right.
You know, like, and who are they getting rid of? I guess Bernard, you could say, it was worth, I think, taking the chance that he'll be ready in the first 4 weeks. And I think he will play in the first 4 weeks. But the question is, how much does he play? Like, Hugh can speak to this better than I can, but when you're an edge rusher, and I know now they're like outside linebackers or whatever, but, you know, it's tough to not have training camp at all and come in 2 weeks into the season, play 85% of the snaps. So, you know, if you told me in the first month they got 50 snaps out of Jonathan Grenard, like, would you definitely take the over on that?
I
think that's, you know, he misses the first week, let's say, who knows for the second week, and then that's 25 snaps the next two games. That's probably not much. So I think they wanted Grenard to be available, but I think it could be a bit of a slow start here for Grenard.
What do you think, Hugh?
It could be, but if you know, because I'm thinking when you said that, you know, coming in and having so many snaps made me think immediately of Aaron Donald. But he's not Aaron Donald.
He's not Aaron Donald.
Well, Aaron Donald's not as important. Right now, I'm saying. Yeah, the Rams have a lot of players.
He's like a cherry on the top.
They paid to be their best edge rusher this year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about
and paid him a lot. I mean, they
traded 2 third-round picks for him. So it does feel like they're all in this year. Like, if you look at the way they constructed the final cuts, the fact they paid Grenard, like, I think there is a world where this could have been a developmental year. Mm. Sean Mannion's the OC. You keep a lot of young UDFAs. You think about all the spots next year you're going to need to fill. They really prioritize winning week one. And you don't often see the Eagles view it in such a, I don't want to say short-sighted, but like with the immediate future as opposed to, especially Howie. If you want to say Nick, I get that. Like, he's trying to win each week. But Howie normally does have the longest view in the room. And this felt like a rare time. I'm not saying they're the wrong decisions, but it felt like the rare time where he did not have the longest view.
Howie's going to speak at 3 today, so we'll have that, or the afternoon show, we'll have that later. Let's end with this, Elliot. Report out from E.J. Smith that the Eagles have some, or there's some interest maybe between the Eagles and Zach Ertz. Your thoughts, I think we talked about them, I don't think you were on the pregame when we talked about it. You might have been moving back around from the field.
Running all around.
Yeah. Your thought, I'm in. I would bring Zach Ertz back. I mean, there's a couple things. One, I think they just need another pass catcher. And two, it'd be kind of cool if he got to end his career as the all-time leading pass catcher. He's 10 behind Harold Carmichael.
Yeah, I don't see much negative to it, right? Like, if you want to say, you know, is that, I think Zach wants to come back, very clearly. Mm-hmm. I think Zach wants to end his career with the Eagles. I think he wants to be the franchise's all-time leader in receptions. And, like, I don't blame him for any of that. But if you just look at just him as a player, I think he's still probably their second best tight end by far on this roster. And Goddard, I think Goddard is better, but I don't think Ertz is like far off as a receiver.
He still had 50 catches last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ertz is still a very good receiving tight end. And I think one thing he brings that they don't have a lot of is dependable options. Like, if you look at this offense, who do you know will be dependable? Like, Devontae Smith, for sure, I think, right?
Saquon.
Saquon, yes. And then Goddard. Goddard would probably be the other one.
That's it. That's the end.
But if any of them go down, if Devontae misses two games, I think just having somebody in Ertz that knows how to get open, knows like he will be in the right spot. And I think it's a, you know, somewhat of a good vibes move too. Like, fans will be excited, you know, so.
I think so too. And it feels like there might be some momentum. So we shall see how he talks at 3. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on.
Appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you soon, later this week.
All right, can't wait.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, 215-592-9494. Get back to everyone's phone calls on the Phillies. Do you feel this team is different? Are you starting to really feel they're different? And the Eagles, for the first time in a while, I'm questioning Howie Roseman, the four quarter.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarterbacks thing just makes no sense to me. All right, coming up, along with your calls, I have an idea. Someone brought up Edmundo Sosa wants a bench trade term. They're not going to do that, but I do have an idea the Phillies have to consider when we get to October. That's next. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Jill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. 94.94. Coming up at 1, Merrill moment number 17 as the countdown continues. We'll get to all your phone calls here on the Eagles, this roster. Elliot brought some interesting thoughts to the table there. It does seem like the Zach Ertz thing might have some legs. So we'll see. Howie's going to talk today at 3 p.m. I continue, and this is the first time in a while, to question Howie Roseman's handling of this roster, the way he put the four quarterbacks on. I don't think.
Four of them.
Yeah, if you have four, you don't have any. You don't have any backups if you have three of them. I mean, that's the bottom line. And McKee seemed to regress this summer, and Dalton just might be totally cooked. I know Hugh Douglas is blind to this because he's his guy. I mean,
it's not my guy.
He's
it's just
your guy. Everyone knows.
That's your guy, Hugh.
Everyone knows.
Now you got Jack.
Well, people stop me in the streets like, man, Hugh really likes Andy Dalton.
I didn't say that.
You did.
Okay, fine. This is what we're doing today.
Yes, it's what we're doing.
On a Monday.
Well, what else? I mean, that's the next day we got to be in here.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they're right.
How to get your week started, huh?
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, you're taking the heat for Roseman because there's four quarterbacks on this roster and we're losing other players. All right, so we'll get to your phone calls that, but...
Do you think Howie listened to Hugh?
Kept the quarterback?
About keeping Dalton.
No, I just think
I hope he's not listening to Hugh. We're screwed. Screwed.
Can't wait for the season to start, man. Cannot wait for the season to start.
All right, I'll bet you $2 they don't have all four quarterbacks when the season starts.
I'll take that bet.
Okay, $2.
All right.
Two. Yeah, $2. Yeah, that's our, we don't go any higher than $2.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right, that's our limit. $2. All right, $2 bet that all four quarterbacks will not be here when the season starts. Howie's going to speak at 3 today. But we had a caller last hour, Hugh, that mentioned the idea that the Phillies should bench Trey Turner for Edmundo Sosa.
Good luck with that.
Well, obviously that piqued my interest because I'm not a Trey guy. I love Edmundo. And Trey has just been a massive disappointment. I also recognize that the Phillies aren't going to do that, right? They're not going to, win a month ago in the season, sit down their $300 million shortstop that they still are holding out some sort of hope for.
Hope.
That he will turn around a season, even though every day goes by and he's not doing that. But I do need the Phillies to do something, Hugh.
And
I don't think I'm asking for too much. Maybe you would say that is too much. But I need the Phillies to have the guts in a big moment down the stretch of the season or in October to pinch hit and get Trey Turner out of the game and give the at-bat to Edmundo Sosa. Let me present a couple numbers for you, and then we will hear Edmundo's home run yesterday as he did it again. Hugh, high leverage moments, okay? Classified as moments that can kind of swing the game. Yeah. High leverage moments this year. We all see him, know him, feel him. Edmundo Sosa in high leverage this season, including yesterday and Friday. He's hitting .317 with a .362 on base percentage, a .659 slugging, a 1,020 OPS. We're talking about like he basically hits like a Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez in clutch moments. Trey Turner in high leverage moments. He has 75 at-bats in those moments. .167 batting average, .253 on base, .227 slugging, a .481 OPS. Sosa, yeah, exactly. Sosa in high leverage has been one of the best hitters in the game in big moments. And Trey Turner in big moments has been horrendous. I know Trey is going to play. I get it. I wish it wasn't an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a moment where a playoff series on the line, a division title's on the line, a ninth inning in a tie game on the line, I want Edmundo Sosa at the plate and then taking the field the bottom of the inning, and I want Trey Turner to sit down. I need the Phillies to have the guts to do that. If everything's about winning the World Series, and I have a full season sample of one guy being one of the best clutch hitters in the sport and continues to have moments like this yesterday, let's hear it. Did it again after doing it Friday. Hugh Douglas, are you walking with me that in a big moment, the Phillies have to have the guts to sit Turner down and give the at-bat to Sosa?
I mean, I hear you, Joe, and it sounds compelling, but yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to do that because it's the
financial.
What
do you mean not able to do it?
Well, it's the financial ramifications of trying to sit him on down in those moments because he is your high-dollar player. See, this is the thing that I think it sounds noble, but this is not high school Harry. This ain't even college. This is professional sports, and he's making a lot of money. and you want him to be in moments like that. I know it doesn't sound like
I don't want him anywhere near that moment. I want him in the parking lot.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that when you talk about when you have the numbers speak for themselves, but you're still going to give him that opportunity.
Well, okay. I mean, listen, if this is if we're having a conversation of who will end up right on this and who will end up wrong, then you're probably going to end up right. They probably won't do this. It doesn't mean they're right, though.
And it's not right, but it's about that money.
Well, but it shouldn't be, because I'll give you an example.
It's always about the money.
Well, it's not. I mean, we have a team. It's not. Let me explain why. 2 years ago, Bryce Huff got $50 million from the Eagles. Jalix Hunt was a third-round pick making nothing. And in the biggest moments in the Super Bowl, who played? Jalix Hunt, because the Eagles were invested in winning a Super Bowl. So if it's about winning a championship, then I need the guy that gives you the best shot to win in the biggest moments.
You know what? You're right, but I think that was different because you had a defensive coordinator that came in, a grizzled vet that basically came in to save your defense that you wanted before. So you give him carte blanche, and that move was made before he got here. And he tried to incorporate – well, let Bryce Huff tell it. He didn't try to incorporate him in it, but there were attempts to do it, but Bryce couldn't pick up the defense. And we know for a fact that when it comes to Vic Fangio and his defense, if you don't know the defense, you're not going to play.
Well, I totally agree. I get that. And it took a grizzled defensive guy to say, I don't care about all that money.
He basically told Howie, forget you.
Sure, but Don Mattingly's at a spot where his job's not guaranteed. He holds no weight. Trey Turner to him, who's that? Like, he's not like his manager for five years.
I think that when you talk about the fact that Trey Turner is out there playing shortstop and people talk about the fact that he is the worst shortstop, and he was the only one that didn't move when all this happened, that just kind of tells you kind of where he is with his cachet in the building right now.
So, listen, I don't think the Phillies would sit Trey down for a month or a series. Like that's where I'll find common ground with you on the contract, right? They're not going to bury the guy they signed for all these years. But I'm talking about game five of the division series against the Dodgers. Two outs, ninth inning. Tie game.
Game five.
I need Sosa to play, not Turner.
It's safe to say that you assume that in games one through four, he didn't produce, right?
Have you seen a season?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going to imagine he's not producing.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's playing like he's played all year.
They're going to give him the opportunity.
Well, even in the past, he hasn't even performed in the playoffs, so I don't expect him to anyways.
No. There's been a couple guys that have done that, though, but I get what you're picking up. Yeah. I pick up what you're putting
down. I mean, the Phillies could do what they want. I know what I would do, and I would sit down. Here's what I'm envisioning. It is in a playoff series. Let's say it's game three of the wild card series against the Cubs. Phillies down one, ninth inning. Like, the season is on the line. And up comes Schwarber and then Turner and Harper. Well, Schwarber walks. Jack, I want Sosa to play. Because I feel like if one of them's going to pop a home run in that moment, it's Edmundo.
Yeah, and I think that of all people to ground into a double play, it'd be probably Trey Turner.
Of course.
He would just fumble under the pressure. And so, yeah, I mean, Sosa's got to be up in these big moments, because if not, it's going to cost this series. I'm actually interested to see if they try and involve Sosa more down the stretch when these games matter most, like especially like this Braves series, the both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not be surprised if they actually have this thought in mind if they try and do it in situations like against the Braves in these two upcoming series.
You know what? One retort to that, though. You know who the game used to find like that? Used to be historic. Well, people used to talk about a few weeks ago, grounding in the double plays, and then he became the hero over a stretch of weeks. Alec Bohm.
I still don't want him at the plate at a big moment. Like, goodness gracious, no.
No, but I'm bringing him up because that's the ebb and flow of the season. That's just how it is in baseball.
It is, but Trey has not shown a pulse the whole season.
Yeah. And this kind of feels like the whole, like, I know it's a different sport, but this feels like Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. It kind of feels like the same thing.
Ooh, like the talent's just gone. Like, he's zapped like a monster.
It
away.
And then, but they're still paying him a bunch of money, so they feel like they have to play.
Well, I fully expect Trey to take down 95% of the at bats from here to the end of the season. I'm just talking about those big moments, because two things are happening. Trey is failing over and over in those spots, and Edmundo's becoming, it's hard to ignore the clutch moments he's had. Like, I want him at the plate in those spots. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. In a big moment, should the Phillies sit down Trey Turner for Edmundo Sosa? I would do it in a heartbeat. I feel like the Phillies want to win a championship. They will. I hope they listen. I hope they consider it. They need to have the guts to do it. And then, of course, the Eagles with this roster. I am questioning Howie for the first time in a long time with the four quarterbacks on the 53. Just doesn't make any sense. And is this Phillies team different? Let's go back to the phone lines. Lots to discuss. John in Allentown is up on WIP. John?
Yo, guys.
Hey, John.
What's up, John?
I got all the answers for you.
Okay.
What you got?
All the answers.
What are you thinking?
Hugh.
Yes.
Don't do the art feathers on top, man. That's all I'm saying.
The art feathers.
Yeah, that stuff comes in nice and thin. It looks like
your
art
hair,
feathers
your
growing
hair.
In the
Oh, you're
wind.
Talking about, so oh, no, I ain't say, just, all right, just, John, this thing ain't happening, man. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Second, the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do what they always do. They're going to leave Trey Turner where he's at, and they're going to bomb out in the playoffs. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right. I mean, John, my scenario is probably not going to happen, but if we have a big moment and Edmundo sits on the bench and Trey pops out on the first pitch, I am not.
You're going to be hot.
Yeah, of course, because they have a guy that's hitting the big moment all year, and they're just going to let him sit there while the other guy screws it up.
And, yeah. I mean, he's a pop-out machine. He's a pop-out machine and an error machine. Like, what is the upside of keeping him where he's at? It's nothing. It's the definition of insanity. Do the same thing every day, expect a different, it's not going to change.
Well, it's every, John, it'd be different if he was showing some signs that he was coming out of this and getting, somewhere closer to the player he typically is. But, it's September 1st tomorrow, and this is where he's at.
I mean, thank God they moved Bryce out to third.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
Base, because he covers half of Trey Turner's territory at this point when he plays third base.
He does. He's been awesome.
I mean, he. So, and guys, Mekhi Lemon, I'm going to tell you what Mekhi Lemon's problem is. He's a Big Ten receiver. I mean, bottom line, he is not a prime time receiver. He's not a big play receiver. He's a Big Ten receiver. He's not an NFL receiver. Like, he played in a horrible conference. With weak competition.
Big Ten's not a.
No, the Big Ten's won the last three national titles. I mean, that.
there's only one team. You know, one team in the Big Ten's really cooked.
Indiana won last year. Ohio State's been pretty good. And Michigan.
I'll say this. USC, John, has been down. USC's not a very good program.
Yeah.
At least they haven't been for a little bit. But the conference he played in, he did play up against some. I mean, when you play in Indiana and you and Michigan and Ohio State, I mean, those teams are pretty good.
Yeah, but didn't USC just get back into the Big Ten?
They did join recently.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah.
They joined recently. Yeah, they're not what they used to be.
I hate to say this, I mean, our general manager, I love him, but he has a problem with picking wide receivers.
Pick Devontae Smith.
Yeah, that's the only one he's picked.
You couldn't make a mistake. He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, Hugh, but if you draft,
but
hold on,
I mean, make a mistake there.
Yeah, if you draft 10 receivers over 10 years and you hit one, you're not good at drafting receivers.
Okay, fair enough.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's just not good at picking receivers. Bottom line, and this guy, Joe was saying it earlier, the measurables just are not there. Like, what was the information you were going off of when you traded up to pick him?
Well, I think they were going off his production. Because, you're right, John. The measurables are not there. He doesn't look the part. And there were other receivers in this draft that had more of the body type, you would think. But I think there's two things to this. John Gutfunkel, I mean, they wanted a specific type of wide receiver, right? They wanted a guy that could probably play the slot and work over the middle. You're talking about unlocking the middle. Now, I mean, we don't have to write off this kid yet, but I feel like
this kind of was happening, though.
No, I think it's coming back to the Howie thing. I mean, Howie had a blind spot at wide receiver for a long time. Devontae was a great pick, but people don't forget the years before Devontae when they didn't have a good receiving corps.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I said the other day that it does him. I mean, it did him no favors by putting him out there with the twos, man.
But I guess what's the favor for him or to get hit? Like, well, he wanted to play and he wanted to get ready to play.
No, I understand that. I understand he wanted to play, and he didn't look up to snuff. But I think it's a little bit harder when you're going out there with guys that are, like I said, trying to make squads. No excuse. I mean, he went out there and he played. He left that impression for everybody to see. But that's why I said I didn't see the benefit of him going out there with the guys that he's not going to be playing with on Sunday.
Well, I guess we'll see when the season starts, right? Yeah. If this was
now with that being said, Joe, everybody might be validated when we come the next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the next. Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday.
A couple Sundays.
They might be validated by what they're thinking, but to have that kind of pressure going into this is a lot for a young cat.
You want to talk about the receivers, how he's drafted over the years?
Oh, I know one of them, like the comparison has been with Jalen Reagor.
Well, that's the one that sticks out. Mm-hmm. So,
well, there's two.
Yeah. Let's go to 2000, from 2010 on. Here are receivers Eagles have drafted. Riley Cooper, 2010, uh-huh. which actually is a fifth-round pick. That actually was not that he had a productive career for a fifth-round pick. But again, that's what he was. 2012, Marvin McNutt, who was actually the winning answer to our obscure Eagle, random Eagle, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
2014, Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff. 2015, I don't even know if we give him credit for this one because this was the year that Chip was basically fully in charge. So we don't give him credit. That was Nelson Agholor. And that was actually a good pick overall, so we can't use that. 2017, Mac Collins and Shelton Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
2019, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. 2020, Jalen Reagor, John Hightower, Quez Watkins. 2021, the hit, Devontae Smith. And then since then, the only other receiver they've drafted, Johnny Wilson, Anais Smith in 2024. They didn't draft one last year, and now this year, Mekhi Lemon.
That's fair enough.
That's fair enough. It's a pretty bad record.
That's fair enough.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's probably one out of 10 or 15,
that's
whatever the numbers were.
Kind of sounds like that. Yeah, it definitely sounds like that.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where the reason AJ got here is because they whiffed so bad on Jalen Reagor.
They had to go get a bona fide.
Yeah, they had to get Devontae and go get AJ Brown.
Well, some of those receivers he also whiffed on, like that he passed up on,
right?
Was
Jefferson.
Like Jefferson, DK Metcalf. I think he passed up on AJ Brown too in the Jalen Reagor draft.
He did,
So
that might have been the Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah,
draft,
right. I knew it was one of those two, but yeah, like the fact that you like try and see if you can get like a certain type of receiver instead of the overall better receiver. How he just gets in his head sometimes
with
these receivers.
Well, that was Reagor and Jefferson, right? He wanted that speed guy because Tyreek Hill was
the stretch the field kind of cat.
Yeah, I think what I heard from that last call, and I kind of feel it, people's antenna is up. Until they see Lemon play well, they're going to go back to like, Howie, you've struggled in this area.
Exactly. That's what I was like.
But the Eagles can't not play him because John on the phone line might have something to say.
It's not about John on the phone line, but it's like if you're going out there, he's it's pressure to play. You're playing with guys. The quarterbacks haven't been playing well. And it just – now we're parsing together whether or not it was him or the pass, you know. And to your point and Elliot's point, he could have got separation on the second play.
Yeah.
But on the first catch, he had to go to the ground to get that ball. That was a bad ball. That first one was a bad ball.
It was. He had to almost like turn around.
Yeah, that was a bad ball.
Yeah, that was the opposite of letting someone catch the ball in stride. I mean, for sure. All right, let's go to Herb, who's up on WIP. Herb?
Yeah, what's up, Joe?
Herp.
Hey, Hugh, I want to ask you something. Friday night, did you see Hollis Thomas?
Friday night? I saw Hollis, but was it Friday? Oh, at the game. Yeah, I did.
The alumni?
Yeah,
he was there.
Yeah.
Because he was parked in the media lot. I talked to him a little.
Yeah, I saw him.
So anyway, there was a bunch of people around him. I had my bus down there with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So anyway, Joe, understand that we got a few weeks before this game, okay? You know that they only carry in five defensive linemen, but there's going to be a few more coming in. So, you know, some of these guys that are linebackers are also going to be up on the line of scrimmage as a DN.
The edge guys, the Epineses and Epiketties.
But there's a few guys that I can see that they cut, but they're going to be on this team. So, you know, they played pretty good in a few games that they played and stuff. But
Herb, who should be the backup quarterback? McKee, like, or who do you like? McKee or Dalton?
You're only going to have two quarterbacks.
You're only going to have two.
I mean, Douglas thinks they're going to have four. I mean, this is unbelievable.
At least
No way.
No way.
Because you need those other two spots you're going to need. You're going to need secondary. You're going to need, tight end. They're going to definitely going to bring in some tight ends. They're going to have five.
Why not have five?
Screw it.
This offense is going to be different when Hurts is in there. The number one man. He's going to do what he's got to do. He knows how to win games. He knows how to move the ball down. The key is these guys, okay, you know, Devontae Smith, he knows the plays, and these other guys are going to have to follow the act. That's all.
Well, I've been trying to tell Hugh that all offseason.
All offseason.
And he doesn't listen to me here. That's the problem.
Right.
Herb, what's your win total? So, what are you feeling right now?
This is what I want to say.
10, 11, 12?
If the Phillies are listening, my condolences to Larry Christensen.
Yes.
Someone that I knew from Vet Stadium. Someone that I talked to many, many times. He knows me. I'm very, you know, it's just a shame. 72. I'm 71. And my condolences to him and all the 1980 world champion, all the players that were on that team that are still living. God bless you. And we lost a good one right there. Larry Anderson was
Larry Christensen.
Larry Christensen, rather. Was just a great, he was a great person, and he, you know, I'm very sad about this and all, you know. I seen him a few years ago in his black Cadillac with his wife. But anyway, that's
well,
about
well
it.
Said, so, Herb, and know, our condolences go out to the Christensen family. Yeah, they,
now,
he,
the Phillies, this is to starting tonight, Joe.
Listen,
they're
going
to have to play every game like it's a playoff game.
Every
game.
Let's
go, Phillies.
Let's go, Herb.
Let's win.
Well, let's go.
WWW till you say, till the end of the season.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just win out. I love it. Herb, good phone call. We appreciate it. Yes, Larry Christensen passed away here this weekend. 1980 Phillies. Started. Start over 200 games here. I think he played his entire career here, all 11 years of his career in a Phillies uniform. He's a good pitcher. So sad. He passed away.
Not Larry Anderson.
No, Larry Anderson is still with us.
I was about to say, Ellie, good.
I mean, the names are kind of similar.
No, I get it.
Christensen and Anderson. Yeah, both Larrys, both pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Larry Anderson is definitely still with us.
Christensen and Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, they're the son on the end.
No, I'm saying.
Anderson.
Chris.
Can you give our guy?
No, I'm just saying.
He's trying
now,
to.
Listen,
that was
now,
his form of fan, you know, eulogy, and you're laughing.
I mess up names. You know I do. But Anderson Christensen.
Larry Anderson and Larry Christensen, both pitchers for the Phillies. No, I can see how you mix those up. I could see. Now, you probably shouldn't do it in a condolences to their life, but I could see how you screw them up. 215-590.
I mean, come on.
94-94. Right, coming up.
I don't see it.
Something I heard a Sixers say this weekend.
Glad
and it just, man, it got me excited. I'm so excited for the Sixers. And I can't wait to watch this guy, who it feels like is being a little bit overshadowed right now. I can't wait to watch him in a Sixers uniform. You hear that next. Your calls and all this. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. You getting excited, Hugh Douglas?
Yes, I am, man. I'm not going to lie. I am. Because I got people calling me excited about the season. I'm not getting anybody any tickets, but
no, you're not shelling out tickets.
Nah,
come on,
I'm not
now.
A sponsor.
Come on, Hugh.
I know, contrary to popular belief, I'm at that sponsor age. I'm not a sponsor.
That's what people are saying in the hallways when you walk
He's
down the
a sponsor.
Yeah, there
hey,
he is again.
Sugar daddy.
But you know, it's weird because we're at that time of the year where it's like
no.
We're at that time of the year. We're all in baseball playoffs for a month away, right? The NFL season is about to start.
We're going to have everything in play.
But, you know, in the back of my mind, there is some space just carved out on a daily basis for, like, what are the Sixers up to? What are they saying? So last week they were working out together. And then, Hugh, I heard this. So Jalen Brown, we know he's a big streamer, right? He gets to go on, I guess, what is it, Twitch or whatever he does?
Yeah, Twitch.
Okay,
yes.
He streams on Twitch. So this will be, it'll certainly be interesting during the season when times are good or not, right? What he's going to have to say, because he'll say a lot on there. But, Hugh, I heard this, and I was excited, one, because he's a hell of a player. Two, I almost feel like the LeBron acquisition is almost completely overshadowed the fact that we traded for Jalen Brown, who was one of the best players in the NBA last year. But I heard this, and I just realized, like, this guy is a man on a mission, considering the team he played for a decade dumped him, didn't want him anymore, thought he was overrated, overpaid, and sent him to a rival. Here's Jalen Brown on his stream this weekend.
My mentality is kill. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like I want blood this year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the mentality. I want blood.
I can't wait to watch him play in a Sixers uniform, Hugh. I feel like he is, you know, there's rare times where a player is in his prime and gets moved when no one really understands why. This guy, it just feels to me like he has a major chip on his shoulder to show the Celtics, you just dump one of the best players you've ever had for no reason.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you guys. And you know, he went up there. I saw something what he did this weekend. He went up there for a festival, and he kind of gave the shout-out to the people that, you know, up there in Boston. And I saw him out there, what, surfing or something. He was doing something on his pod, whatever. But, yeah, he's a guy on a mission. I think this is the most excited I've seen anybody about basketball since Allen Iverson was here.
Oh, I agree,
yeah,
for sure.
Since back in the day, man. You know, with everything that we got him, LeBron, and the way that the process, Joel Embiid, sounds like he's bought back into it. Everybody's excited about what potentially this basketball season is going to be.
Well, for the first time, legitimately, there is a chance they could win the NBA championship. I mean, we kind of like squinted and tried to talk ourselves into it for a lot of years in the middle of that run with Embiid, but it never felt real. It never felt actual, like they could actually win the title. We have that feeling now. And a huge part of it is the trade for Jaylen Brown. And you know, the player is awesome, and he was awesome last year for the Celtics. And I know there's questions about, is he worth the $60 million he gets paid and the future and all that? I get all that, right? And then we'll figure that out when we go along. But for right now,
it's a good feeling.
I just love that he's coming in here annoyed. He's coming here with some
He has a chip on his shoulder.
He doesn't really have anything to prove on a basketball court. He's proven, obviously, a lot. He's been an excellent player, an all-star, and a finals MVP of Hugh. But feels like he has now created something else he's got to prove. Prove to the Celtics you were wrong.
Yeah, and prove that, you know, that like you said, that they're wrong. But just like he's that dude. He wants to be that guy again. And I think that's going to bode well for us as fans.
Well,
it's
going to
be a fun time.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all fits together and how they all play off each other. But I think Brown, it almost in a weird way helps him that he could fly under the radar again, because LeBron's going to be the story, right?
Yeah.
But he's the story. He's the face of this thing now. He's why they're on TV, all this. But I think we're almost sleeping a little bit on how great Jaylen Brown was last year for the Celtics and can be for the Sixers. I can't wait. And you're right, coming up in a couple months, we're going to have all these teams all at the same time. Cannot wait for it. 215-592-9494. David Westchester up on WIP. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Dr. Frankenstein, crazy hair Douglas. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Yeah, we might
on,
have to save that nickname. I like that. Crazy haired Frankenstein Douglas. Like it.
Hugh, just shave it. Come on, man. We had to.
Come on back home.
This morning I woke up and I'm like, man, what are we doing?
This morning, so you had the doubt I'm having in Howie about your own hairline?
No, I was like, what are we doing? Because it's just so much easier. Like, you know, as a bald guy, it's just easier to groom. But
yeah.
I'm going to ride this out. I'm going to see how long I can ride this out, though, Dave. I'm going to see how long I can ride this out.
Oh, Hugh, just take the clippers, take the like number one blade, the attachment, put it on, and just every week, just boop, 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 you're done.
Yeah, I thought right? about it. I definitely thought about it this morning. That was definitely a thought.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to shave all the way, but just clip it, and then, you know, just have those little tiny hairs on
I'm
there.
I'm going to see how long
nice
I can go with
and,
it. I'm going to see how long I can go, because I haven't even shaved this yet. I'm going to see.
Like weeks or months or
like the end of the year?
I want to see. I don't know, because it's starting to get a little annoying. Like,
well, it might help
now.
You when it gets colder.
Yeah.
I think this
Joe
guy's got 2 weeks left in him tops.
two weeks tops.
2 weeks tops. I can hear the doubt in his voice.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot going on over here.
All right. First off, with that quote, I want blood. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for the Sixers. I have not been this excited for the Sixers in forever. I mean, geez, this is more than any Philly fan deserves, what they've put together and in such a short time. You know, thank God for this ownership group, should I say? It's like, wow.
Well, thank God they got Bob Myers in here and then Gansey. Because, there's just no way they pull this off with Maury. There's no way they pull this off with Colangelo or any of the guys they've had here before. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, this was a remarkable trade. And then it opened the door to go get, you know, LeBron.
LeBron James.
Yeah. I mean, like, without Brown, they don't get LeBron.
LeBron James.
Changed everything.
Right. Yeah, so this is going to be a great season. I can't wait to watch it. As far as Mekhi Lemon, okay, you guys need to back off that kid for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in limited He's limited showing. He got hurt, which was unfortunate. And he's going to have some growing pains, but it's not like he's Nelson Aguilar out there just dropping everything that's thrown to him. You know, you got to give him a shot here. You got to just like back off, let him play, let him get his feet wet. You know, just let him adjust his speed of NFL so things can slow down for him instead of just, oh my God, he dropped a ball in training camp. Jesus, the world's going to end.
Yeah, we'll have patience. I'll give him 2 to 3 weeks, and then I'll start yelling about him. All right, David, good phone call. You got it, man. We appreciate it. So he just, David said something there. Would you sign up for Mekhi Lemon to have a Nelson Aguilar career right now? I think I would. Played 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah. I guess,
there are probably some people saying we want way more out of a first-round pick. I'm just saying, Nelson Aguilar was not bad and helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Merrill moment number 17. The countdown continues and all your phone calls and all this. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.